New guidelines from the International Olympic Committee could make it easier for transgender and intersex athletes to compete in the Games. A framework released yesterday moves away from determining athletes' eligibility based on testosterone levels. It also gives individual sports the option to set their own rules. Joining us now is ESPN's Katie Barnes. Katie, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Katie, this framework released by the IOC, give us the rundown on it. What does it cover, and how is it different from the rules that have been in place since 2015?
The biggest difference is the movement to a more process-oriented discussion rather than a specific outcome with a blanket rule. So previously, the IOC had used a single rule around testosterone levels that governed transgender participation and intersex participation for all sports. And in this case, this framework operates using 10 principles. And an example of a couple of them are fairness, inclusion, harm prevention, that kind of stuff, and encourages the international federations to weigh all 10 of those principles in concert holistically when developing their own eligibility criteria.
It also seems to sort of shift that burden of proof from the athletes having to show why they ought to be allowed to compete to sort of having to demonstrate, well, why shouldn't they be? Do they have some competitive advantage? And that seems to be a big shift. I'm wondering what the response is so far. What are you hearing from athletes and various sports governing bodies?
The response is a lot of wait and see and kind of mixed, honestly. I think whether you're on the side of wanting to see transgender athletes be more included in sport or you're on the side of wanting more restrictions, there are a lot of questions about how this framework is going to play out in practice because it is so process-oriented. As these actual policies are developed and as they differ per sport and per federation, I think there will be additional clarity around how this is actually going to play out. But there's a lot of cautious optimism that maybe this is going to be the best way forward for a more inclusive vision around what sport could be, simply because it's just a more nuanced conversation rather than just saying, if your testosterone level is at this level, you can't participate or you can participate.
Right. I mean, the testosterone thing was, it was simpler, I suppose, but perhaps too simple. I'm thinking of the example of you had a transgender weightlifter in Laurel Hubbard from New Zealand, for example. She artificially lowers her testosterone level to the legal limit. So she did compete in the most recent Olympics. But then you have the case of Caster Semenya, the great South African sprinter. She has an intersex condition and her body just naturally produces testosterone above the legal limit. She wasn't allowed to compete. So should we expect that quirks and perhaps flaws like that will be corrected going forward?
Well, I think those two examples speak to the need for nuance in this conversation, right? You have somebody like Laurel Hubbard, who's a transgender woman, and then you have somebody like Caster Semenya, who is not trans and has a difference of sex development. And that's a very different conversation, but they are similar in that we're talking about hormone levels and we're talking about science and pseudoscience and bodies. And so when it comes to the way that this framework is going to operate, I think it allows for more discretion among the federations for sure, but also I think allows for more individual athletes to have their voices heard and to be treated as individual athletes, as opposed to having a presumed advantage based on what may or may not be happening physiologically in their bodies.
And as we mentioned earlier, different sports governing bodies can set their own rules. Perhaps table tennis wants different rules from weightlifting, let's say. I mean, what do we expect to see as that unfolds? Do we see certain sports moving ahead of others right now, Katie?
I think there are a lot of question marks about that. How these federations will move and how quickly they will move is a little to be determined. It's not entirely clear when we're going to start seeing updated policies and what those policies will look like and how they will vary. The next couple of years are going to be really, I think, important in terms of seeing exactly where the international sporting apparatus is when it comes to determining eligibility criteria for transgender athletes and intersex athletes, and exactly how those criteria will vary sport to sport.
And as you said, some of these changes may be unfolding over years to come. This change from the IOC comes just 3 months after the Tokyo Olympics, which were the first to host publicly out trans athletes. I'm wondering if you think that we'll see that trend continue, and do you think we'll see any changes in time for the Beijing Winter Olympics, which are just a few months around the corner?
I'd be surprised if we saw something as quickly as Beijing. But, you know, the fact that there have been transgender athletes who have now competed in the Olympics, there are a lot of questions of when that was going to happen. And now it has happened. And it's worth noting that it largely happened without incident. And so whether or not there will be more transgender athletes who have the ability to participate in the Olympics, you know, that's going to depend on the sport. It's going to depend on the guidelines, on the criteria, and whether or not transgender people are given the opportunity to develop the skill set required to be an elite athlete. Now that it has happened, I anticipate that we will see more transgender athletes be able to participate. And hopefully they will win and lose just like everyone else, and it will not be that big of a deal.
It's Katie Barnes, journalist with ESPN. Katie, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.